It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Scotsman episode 2 of A Little Scotsman Reboot. Brian Priest here, joined by Hu Tran. Hu,
what's
how you doing?
Up? Hey, dude. Well, it's we're getting close to the holiday season, my friend. We are, a week and a half away.
So, okay, what qualifies as the holidays? Is it the holiday season?
I guess we're close to Christmas.
We're
close to Christmas. Crunch time's coming. We're in the fourth quarter now.
Yeah, we're in the fourth quarter. You know, we're recording on Thursday, December 15th. So, right. I mean, really, logistically speaking, we're talking single digits in days of preparation. You don't have kids, though, right? You don't have to provide for any children, at least.
Not kids of my own.
You didn't sire your own children. Yeah, I got you.
That's a good way to say it.
You doing anything fun for the holidays?
We work in the news business. So Christmas Eve and Christmas Day are Saturday and Sunday this year, right? We'll figure it out. It's like usually on the holidays that we don't need a full crew here. But when it's on the weekend, we just run for sports. We run longer shows on the weekend, so we'll see. Normally, on Christmas, I'll have Christmas Eve off, and if I work Thanksgiving, I'll work Christmas and vice versa. But we'll see. We'll see. Mm. It's again fourth quarter. We're all trying to figure out, especially with BYU's bowl game is on Saturday.
Yeah, 2 days away.
2 days away. Then Utah State a couple days after Christmas, and then something called the Rose Bowl.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, some
grand. There's something about grandpas or something.
Exactly.
Granddaddies. I don't know.
That's happening. As the year's winding down, sports is still. We're just going. We're trucking through. So
it goes constantly, I hear exactly what you're saying with NFL on Christmas weekend, Saturday, and there's games both days.
Yeah,
so there's really not downtime for you.
They're trying to co-opt the NBA's stronghold on Christmas games. So.
The NFL owns everything. Why can't they just back off and let the NBA have one day?
Yeah, exactly. When you think Christmas Day of sports, you think NBA basketball.
That's what I think.
Right. And so they're like, oh, it's if it was on a Sunday, maybe I would be like, all right, but NFL players spend their holiday away from their family. This is their job; they have to go to work. And I mean, we'll see what happens. But it happens when the holiday's on a weekend, I guess. So.
Exciting times, but that's just the world of sports. Right. We don't get to know our schedules ahead of time. We do get to know the teams that we're following and their schedule. So we're talking Utah State today, obviously, on the Scotsman. I would hope we talk some Aggie sports. Football team, just 10 days away from Christmas. We're 12 days,
12
away,
days away
from the Serve Pro First Responder
Serve,
Bowl.
Oh, yeah, gotta get that Serve Pro money. Serve Pro, give us money.
I'll be honest with you, I'm not good with advertisers. You know, you've got the Serve Pro thing, but what gives me even more pause with this bowl game is I honestly don't know. I've seen it both ways from Utah State communications, from the bowl game communications. I don't know if it's First Responders Bowl or if it's First Responder Bowl.
That's
I don't know.
I mean... So the bowl game is, I mean, yeah, like we can delve into like the English language right now, but yeah, you know, well, I'm going to say first responders bowl. So
okay. All right.
That's just, you know, like my personal preference.
Let's go with first responders bowl. And so still 12 days away, we've got plenty of time to talk about this game. And actually, that's part of our plan next week is we will take a deeper look at Memphis, their program, right. the type of team that they have and the challenges that they'll present to Utah State and Blake Anderson's team. But I wanted to talk to you today, kind of let's throw our analyst speculation hats on. We don't have to sit in the corner for this one, so that'll be nice. But I was looking at Utah State's roster and looking at this team as they're traveling down to Dallas for the first responders bowl.
Yes.
And there are 17 guys associated with this Utah State team that have ties to Texas, several with ties to the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay.
So you've got 13 players, four coaches that are – Texas is a big state, so I can't say that everybody's going home for Christmas. But
right.
You know, we're titling this episode Home for the Holidays,
yeah,
so let's just go with that theme.
All right.
We've been 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. We've been college students. We've been in that point in our lives where, you know, coaches or teachers or whoever it is might be telling us what we need to do to prepare for something, but then you're Utah State. You've got these 13 players,
right.
four coaches who are flying home to the Dallas, Texas area. And these are guys who are not only preparing for a bowl game, but they're also looking at Christmas, you know, one of the biggest holidays of the year.
Because they're going to have to spend the holidays.
Yeah, they're going to be
Dallas.
In Dallas.
Right.
They're traveling, I think, on the 23rd, as I believe the last thing I heard. So they'll be in Dallas for four or five days.
Right. So some of them. Are going to be, you know, home for the holidays. Some of them are not going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the different dynamics there. Because it is interesting because, like, you know, being a college kid, going to a – number one, going to a bowl game is always, you know, the swag bags. All the stuff associated, right? It's fun. You know, we talked about this last week. Like, last year, you know, they were Mountain West champions going into the bowl game. And they were, you know, they went to the L.A. Bowl. Like, they're in California. And that seemed like they were on a mission because like that was a year that you know, no expectations like we talked about, and then this year's a little bit different. You know, the expectations were there. They start the year slowly. They got that sixth win in the second to last week.
Yeah,
second to last week they were able to get to bowl eligibility, and now they're going to this you know first responders bowl. You know, like I don't want to try. Like it's probably not a prestigious bowl.
There's,
you
know, 42 of them.
Yeah, right. Like it's down there, but you know it's again you're on a little, you know, it's like going on a work trip, right? If you get sent somewhere, like it's a lot of hard work, but you know, you get a little downtime for yourself, and you know these kids are gonna have the same thing that they're out there. You know, there's a focus on a game, but it doesn't feel as big as a bowl game as it was last year. And I don't know, some of them may just be happy to, you know, grab the swag bag, you know, get some more tape for their NFL tape and, you know, go out there and for both teams, probably. I mean, I don't know
absolutely.
About Memphis, but yeah. So, yeah, so some of these kids are going home and they're going to, you know, it's fun. Like, yeah, like it might be one of their few times that their family gets to see them play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're traveling down there. You're near home for so many players and some of these coaches. And just I wonder if there is a bit of distraction. I also wonder, I think we brought it up last week, I just wonder how much emphasis is put on winning a bowl game anyway. Mm-hmm. I think that the focus in bowl games like this First Responders Bowl, I mean, if you're in the college football playoff,
right?
Totally different. But for a bowl game like this First Responders Bowl, winning is great, but it's more about the extra practice time. It's more about the opportunity for coaches to have hands-on work with these players for an extra month out of the year. And for you get a lot of, I don't know exactly how many Utah State has, but you do get some kids in this time who wrap up their high school careers in November and early December, and then they'll come out. They might start practicing and participating.
Because,
with
like,
the team.
You get a you can keep a redshirt year, right?
Exactly.
You can play in the bowl game. If the bowl game is the game you play in,
so,
you keep your redshirt eligibility.
So, yeah, you could have a number of guys. And I just wonder about divided attention. And but even if it matters. So I guess now you're not a coach. We're sitting here behind the scenes. Well, maybe you are a coach.
I am not a coach, folks. That is breaking news.
But if you were Blake Anderson, if you're Efren Bonda, if you're one of these Aggie coaches, how do you help your players remain focused on the task at hand, the game, instead of Christmas, frolicking, we're on vacation, having this great time for 5 days in Dallas?
I mean,
how do you stay focused?
It's probably the culture that you've built in all throughout the year, right? Like, this is work. Like I said, this is work. You know, like, you're on the football team. This is your job. This is work. Hey. We're out here. We're going to have fun. You know, we're in Dallas, obviously. Like, you know, we're talking about the Rose, but we talk about the Utes. They get to go take a day and go to Disneyland. Like, those guys are in the New York Six Bowl, but they still have time. Like, hey, we're going to have some fun, right? Like, hey, you know, this is a reward for, you know, you got 6 wins this year. This is hard work all year. You know, some people have put their bodies on the line, have been injured or out now, like Logan Bonner guy and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I assume he's going. I don't know. I saw a tweet that said he's like, peace out, Utah State.
He stayed with the program throughout the entire season. Uh-huh. And I know that he announced he's going to be preparing for the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know if he's traveling with the team or not. Like, so, I would imagine he is.
There's other injuries, right? So, like, guys who have put their body on the line, like, this is sort of reward. Like, hey, you know, you guys have done good work. This was a goal this year to get to a bowl game. And we're here. We're not done yet, but that's you're still focused. You're like you go out on a work trip, you're focused, but you know, like, okay, cool. Once I get done with this, I'm gonna have this time. So you know, it's the carrot in front of the horse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, all right, you don't hide the carrot. You tell them, like, hey, there is a carrot, but you know, to get there, we still got to finish this up. So it's like the last chapter. You know, when you wind down, it is a little bit harder. But I think you acknowledge it, like, hey, you know, this is it. Let's go out with a bang, because nobody wants to go out on a loss. Nobody does. So,
well, and I think one thing that does benefit this Utah State team is they only had, I think, 12 seniors. It might have even been fewer seniors than that, and a handful of those guys still have their COVID year, so they'll be coming back. And this is a Utah State team that, you know, we'll see what happens in the transfer portal, but could be returning. You know, 60, 70, 80 guys next season. And so, you do have a point of pride. Let's finish this season on a high note. Mm-hmm. And we go into the off season. We're going to put in the work because we're all coming back next year.
A lot of you guys are coming back to
So I think that's a good point. One more thing before we move on to Utah State basketball. I want to mention a couple Aggies in the NFL.
Yeah.
And Devin Tompkins.
Big one.
Wide receiver last year with Utah State. Ended up being an undrafted free agent, signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been on their practice squad all season long and made his NFL debut on Sunday against the 49ers, right?
Kind of a funny – if you watch KSL TV, every weekend or every Sunday, Jeremiah Justin has a segment called Locals in the NFL. And we scour all the box scores, find out what players are playing, who's out there. You know, it involves just like a lot of just like keeping your ear to the ground to see who's playing, who's doing well. Mm-hmm. And Devin Tompkins kind of slipped through our radar. Like, luckily.
He was activated, less than 24 hours before the game?
And like Saturday or Sunday, you know, we're just going through our logs and going, and I watched this Mish Wishnowski punt from.
A lot of syllables.
Yeah, he's from Utah, and like, he punts, and I was like, oh, wait, that's Tompkins. I wonder if that's Devin Tompkins from Utah State, because he was on the preseason roster. You know, these guys get cut, picked the practice squad. You know, it's hard to keep track of everybody, and it's just like one of those, like, we all kind of missed it. I was like, oh, Devin Tompkins is running back, and you know, like, the highlight was that he had a couple, you know, punt returns that weren't just fair catches, and then he had a big 54-yard kickoff return.
53-yard kickoff return.
He was hyped when he got out, like. This is a pretty big moment for a first game. Like, people have sort of criticized Britton Covey for not breaking one yet. Like, guys, breaking a punt return or kickoff return
doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard thing to do. Like, especially like guys like, I mean, Tompkins and Covey are not huge athletes,
mm-hmm.
but they're fast, they're shifty,
yep.
they're agile. And they just have a good like eye for the holes. And like Tompkins in this first game, like wow, like really looked really good. Like I don't know what he averaged on his punt return, probably over 10 to 12 yards a punt return, and then that 53 yard kickoff return is really impressive. So good for him. I mean, they talked about on the broadcast. They cut somebody. They cut somebody to call him up. So it wasn't like, oh, somebody went down. They went and said, oh, you know what? We'd rather have Tompkins up on the roster than whoever they cut. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, so Devin gets his chance finally, and you talked about five kickoff returns, and it ends up with 123 return yards on kickoff, so almost 25 yards on average per return, and then two punt returns for 21 total yards, so a little over 10 yards.
Ten and a half.
A great NFL debut, and I mean, I was excited for Devin Tompkins, right, seeing him sign with Tampa Bay, just for the thought of this kid who cut his teeth playing football in Logan at Utah State University is catching passes, at least in practice,
right,
from Tom Brady, the GOAT. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, we've seen like him as – obviously, we talked about Covey already. Other punters in the NFL that are local, like Dax Milne.
BYU guy.
BYU, I mean, he got a touchdown this year.
He's with the Commanders, right?
Yeah, Commanders. But then the other guy from another small school in Utah, Rashid Shaheed. You know, not only just doing the punt kick, but he's also become like a fourth or a fifth receiver. Like, if Devin, I mean, the Buccaneers, if they can get back to the way they were passing last year, I mean, I know we're late in the season, but they were Tom Brady was probably he was near top five in like passing yards last year, or passing efficiency, one of those two. And, you know, they got Godwin and Evans. Like, if you have guys bracketing Godwin and Evans, you're going to have this middle of the field for guys like Tompkins and coming in the slot. And, I mean, their slot receivers, Antonio Brown's not there, obviously. You know, Scotty Miller, I don't think is doing very well there.
Haven't seen much from him. I know they brought in Cole Beasley earlier this year and played a couple games with him before getting cut.
Russell Gage has been there all year.
So there's a spot in Tampa for a slot receiver like Devin Tompkins.
And he's like Godwin and like Evans is a big guy, right? Big guy, uses his body well.
Yeah.
Godwin is really good possession. I mean, I don't think they have anybody that can match up. I mean, there's not that many people that can match up with the speed of Tompkins regardless.
No.
But, yes, you know, if they can utilize Tompkins' speed to break away, this could be a chance. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
It's exciting for Tompkins. You love seeing that. And that's something that happens late in an NFL season, you know, as guys go down to injury or just in Tompkins' case, hey – player A is not getting the job done. We've got Devin on our practice squad. Let's bring him up and see what he can do. And showed out against San Francisco in a 35-7 Tampa Bay win. Another couple Aggies in the NFL this week. Bobby Wagner.
He chose to go to LA, right?
Like, yes, he did.
In the beginning of the season.
He was cut by Seattle.
Right.
And then he chose to sign as a free agent.
And unfortunately for him, like the world champions are not having a great year. I wonder what he's – because, like, at this stage of his career, he's got a ring. He's still pretty obviously, he got two sacks, one sack, at least either this week or last week. He's still getting pressure. He's going to tackle TFLs. He can still play for a couple more years, you would think, so –
Well, and he's still laying hits on the sideline when you get streakers coming out on the field, too.
I don't know if you saw that video.
Didn't he end up getting sued for that? Or in the process of being sued?
He's gonna,
ridiculous. Right, run on an NFL field and then get mad when you get hit.
F around and find out is what his attitude. So
there you go.
So I wonder I wonder what Wagner is going to do next year. I wonder if he wants to – the Rams, it's NFL, right? The Rams could come back and be number one next year. You know, like it just didn't really mesh with them this year. Wagner, gosh, like maybe he goes back to Seattle.
Really, if you're Bobby Wagner, you can kind of write your own check.
Right.
Where do you want to go?
Because
with your production and level of play over 11 years in the NFL, this is a guy who was drafted in the second round in 2012.
Yeah.
And that was back when you were in Logan.
No. I'm a decade earlier.
Yeah, I'm a
05-ish, 06-ish. I'm a Robert Turbin-ish, Chris Cooley-ish. No. Those guys are a little bit off.
Chris Curtis?
Kevin Curtis.
That's his name. But yeah, Bobby Wagner has 111 tackles this year, 5 sacks, so still playing at a high level. Yeah. If he wants to continue playing as a linebacker in the league, somebody will give him a job next year.
He's made money, and so money's not his biggest motivator, I think. I think finding the right fit for him. And I mean, not that LA hasn't been a right fit. I mean, he's obviously leading that defense still, but he even had a block punt this year, or block field goal this year. So Wagner's been pretty good. So, yeah, I just kind of wonder, because the season's lost for the Rams, and it's just kind of like really good for Bobby Wagner, but it's just got to be hard for them because, they're shutting down Cooper Kupp. Matt Stafford's out for the year.
Yeah, it was
it's done.
So. Not an ideal season for the Rams, but like you said, still good numbers for Bobby Wagner. Unfortunate that he thinks signing with the defending Super Bowl champions, you're going to get another run at the chip.
Yep.
And he's got his Super Bowl ring. Didn't work out with the Rams this year, but again, next year. If he wants to keep playing, he'll have his chances. Should we move on to some basketball?
Yeah. Let's give our flowers to Davis as well.
I apologize. Jalen Davis, also mentioned him. I was looking. It was interesting. I was actually looking through the Aggies in the NFL, and there's 12, 13 guys with Utah State ties that are in the NFL right now, but I think it was only those three that were active. You've got Tyler Larson with Washington. Okay. He's on injured reserve.
Right, he just got hurt last week?
Two weeks ago. Yeah. Patrick Scales, I think it is. He's a long snapper with the Bears, but they were just on a bye.
Yeah.
So not a lot going on for Utah State football. Jalen Davis ends up, he plays a few snaps on defense, gets one tackle and a 23-10 win over the Browns.
When you're in Utah State, I mean, you take those. You take those wins. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's touch on this Utah State women's basketball team real quick. It hasn't been a great season for USU women's basketball. They're 3-6 this year.
They've had a couple close games, but yeah.
They started off really poorly. They were getting blown out by, they got blown out by Utah Tech. And no matter where your program is, if you're Utah State, you shouldn't be getting blown out by Utah Tech. And so, obviously, there's some work that this program needs to do. But like I said, the last 2 weeks, they've been playing much better. Two respectable losses this last week, 10-point loss to BYU, and then they drop a game by 8 to Loyola Marymount down in Las Vegas that they played before the men. But, it's difficult. It's not ideal, and it's really difficult to recruit in Logan. Just no matter what you do, there hasn't been a ton of local talent coming out of high schools in the Cache Valley area.
And maybe the women's basketball teams in Utah just need Utah and BYU to really excel first, and then these other teams can kind of not get the scraps, but the trickle down effect.
Mm-hmm.
Utah right now is ranked 13th in nation. They're 9-0. BYU having a little bit down year. Yeah. I mean, a coaching change.
But traditionally, they've had a good women's team.
So, hopefully, if that talent starts to rise up there, those two teams, they'll start getting transfer portal girls. They're starting girls that are more established.
Yep.
So then these girls coming out of high school that are sitting on the benches of Utah and BYU right now. We'll want to go start. All right, Utah State's close enough, and so
okay, go to Logan.
That's kind of what Utah State men's basketball kind of does.
They've hung their hat on for a long time.
Make it work though. They've made it work for a while, and they're making it work this year.
Yeah,
in a spectacular fashion. 9-0, right?
8-0.
8-0,
and they play tonight.
I guess I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse here.
By the time most people listen to this,
a lot of horse metaphors here. But yeah, the Westminster, you don't want to look at. I hate looking ahead of opponents, but Westminster is a team that Utah State schedules because they want that kind of win. Get some practice out there. And Weber State's having a pretty awful year actually. So traditionally, some sort of a rivalry between Utah and Weber State. So hopefully, two more wins on the docket, and then they go to Hawaii.
So Westminster tonight at home in the Spectrum.
That's good. I mean, you know, but yeah, keep the guys warm.
It's good to have those exhibitions sometimes. The Aggies have had a couple of tough games, so it'll be a nice chance to go out. You know, you're still missing Rylan Jones. He's missed the last two games, and Aggies have been fortunate with Stephen Ashworth taking over at point guard for Rylan, but you'd love to get him back. But in the meantime, this exhibition, maybe you can get a couple other guys a few minutes.
Get some more rest. The hope is for these type of games is you get a big enough lead in the first half that by the last 10 minutes of the game, you can kind of be like, all right, cool. Like, and, you know, we talk about this like in the NBA, and like when you have blowouts, you know, mentally, if it's a long season, you might not really try that hard to like get back from a 20-point deficit. You're just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Like everybody can take off. Like you're not pushing yourself 100% and going all out in these type of games. So, all right. So Westminster again on the 15th here, and then Weber State coming up next, and then the real test is going to be that Hawaii Hawaii Classic or
the Hawaiian Airlines Diamond Head Classic.
Diamond Head Classic.
Yeah, you got to get the Diamond Head Classic in there, and that's an interesting one. It'll be three games for the Aggies. They're going to start out against Seattle, and then they're going to play. Depending on the result against Seattle, they'll play either the winner or loser of Iona, and
there's a couple of like quad one,
somebody?
Quad two type of wins or not wins teams on here.
Yeah, there's some like Washington State's playing in that tournament. They're on the other side of the bracket.
Yes.
So there's some teams that could be challenging for this Aggie team, but yeah, so it'll be a game on the 22nd against Seattle, and then on the 23rd they'll play undetermined. And then on Christmas Day, they'll play the third game.
So this is another one of those, like, we talked about football, right? Like, okay, now these guys are going to this tournament. Now, these guys are in the middle. Like, these guys are in the middle of a season. This is not the end, like the football team. This is, like, the beginning. And this could be really important for us, or for the Utah State Aggies, to get ranked.
And this is a team that received 4 votes in both the AP poll and the USA Today coaches poll in this most recent edition. And so, if you're Utah State, you're looking at it like this. Well, Utah State is not looking ahead at it like this. As an analyst, as a podcaster who talks and writes about Utah State, I am. Westminster tonight, then you've got Weber State on Monday, then you jump on a plane, you head out to Hawaii, and the way I'm looking at it, you've got games on the 22nd and 23rd. Probably won't be, you know, a huge deal. Just more games. But that game on Christmas Day, you've got
eyeballs.
Everybody's at home. Yep. Nobody's at work.
Eyeballs.
Everybody's just got a TV on in the background, and you have people who have a chance to see Utah State basketball for the first time. And this is a chance
State, they had the LMU. It was supposed to be on Fox Sports 1. I don't know where it went that night. But I mean, I wonder how pumped they were for that, because that was Fox Sports 1 is pretty good for a Utah State program.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
and,
bad.
I mean, it was 11 – it started like 11:15 p.m. Mountain Time. Yeah, like, you know, for these young kids, like, this is a big deal. Like, you get a chance to – hey, we're going to be seen. And,
well, not just for the kids. I mean, the program as a whole, when you're Ryan Odom and you're thinking about recruiting and you're going into a 17-year-old's living room and saying, hey, this time next year – you could be playing on Christmas Day on national TV in Utah State Navy Blue.
Yeah,
and that's pretty compelling.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's good. Like again, this is hard because like, you know, again, these kids, this might be the first time away from their family for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, like Odom has shown that he's probably pretty good at getting these guys really focused, and that's what it's going to take, focus to get through. Again, You're out there for Christmas. You're in Hawaii, you know. Like,
you be focused as a 19-year-old in Hawaii on the beaches?
I'm trying to remember back then. Like, boy, like
back when your body worked and you could move around.
I was like, oh man. But like Hawaii, I mean, again, if I knew that, okay, cool. As soon as the Christmas game is done and we do our job, like I'm assuming they have a day.
You would think, right?
Like, you would hope so. Like, okay, you have a day. Go to the beach. Go enjoy Hawaii for the day, and then we're back on the plane, back to Logan. But yeah, like, you know, that's your Christmas vacation. Like, how many kids get to go to Hawaii for Christmas? You know, so that's pretty good. So again, hopefully, you know, this comes down to coaching and making sure they're focused.
Yeah,
you know, like don't hide the fact that, you know, Hawaii's there, but, you know, say, hey, it's there. Get done with this first, mm-hmm. and then you can play with your toys. So,
well, and I think that having that day off on Christmas Eve,
yep.
kind of it gives you that opportunity. Right. You go down there, you can be focused. We're gonna get these games in. We're gonna play two games. We're gonna win those, and then Christmas Eve. All right, guys, let's have a team dinner. Let's right. do the whole Christmas thing and go take some time on the beach because it's one day. Right. You can go right. out to the beach for one day and relax and throw the swim trunks on, and mm-hmm. And you want guys to be able to do that because, like you said, you don't want guys going to Hawaii and feeling like they can't enjoy
right.
it.
Yeah,
because like, that's even I've been like that's just, almost worse.
I've been on trips before. Like, real quick story: I got sent to the Rose Bowl when I was 20 to cover it. For this website I worked for. And it was like, oh, hey, Mike, you're 20, 21, you're 20, I was 20 or 21. You're 21 years old, 22 years old maybe, and you get sent out to California. You're covering this football game. But we were just go, go, go. We weren't allowed to have time to like, oh, we don't even have a day to like go to the beach. And that can be kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think giving some time to like, all right, cool, you can have a little bit of fun. Like, I get that you're paying for my trip and everything. This is work. But – man, just give me a couple hours to like just enjoy like this trip, you know?
Exactly. So. Yeah, you want to be able to get out of the hotel room. The worst right. thing about, even if it's a work trip, which I've had a few of them in my life, the worst thing about them is when you fly in and you feel like you're just going from the airport yep. to the hotel to work to the hotel to the airport.
Yes.
You know, let me.
That happens.
I went. It does. It does. It happens all the time. But I went to San Francisco last year to cover the Pac-12 basketball media days, okay. and just having like 12 hours to get out and wander
yes.
and see the city, especially right. when you're somewhere that you haven't been before.
Yes,
we're yeah. telling a lot about ourselves.
Right.
When
no,
we,
that's fine.
But like, that's yeah. You want to be able to go to Hawaii, give these guys yeah. a chance to enjoy the trip,
like Hawaii's
get away
not,
from
Hawaii's not a
Utah.
Cheap trip. Like, I mean, I might like I've been to Hawaii once, and I would love to fly back, but you know, I don't have the money or time sometimes. So you know, if you send me to Hawaii, you're like, all right, I'll go. You know, so
I tried yeah. to convince Nate,
right?
That,
yeah.
but it, apparently that was a
yeah.
no go.
So Utah State. So next week, they're gearing up for football. That week of Christmas is going to be mm-hmm. a big Utah State week.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Wall-to-wall Utah State coverage from the 22nd basketball game against Seattle all the probably way through 27th. The 27th. Five yeah. days straight Utah State coverage.
Get
so
all your Aggie stuff here, man.
Aggies right here. Brian Preece, you can find my written work at kslsports.com covering Utah State. And then next weekend, the plan for the Scotsman, who and I are going to sit down and just basically wall-to-wall Memphis.
Figure it all out.
Let's sit down. Let's study the Tigers. Let's find out who they are, what makes them tick. And then we'll come in. We'll preview the Memphis Tigers, the First Responders Bowl. And maybe I can convince who to give a prediction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. You know, predictions are my strong points. Thanks. What's your handle? Where can they find you?
You'll find me on Twitter at bpriest24. You can also find my work on Twitter with KSL Sports, just at KSL Sports. Who, where can they find your stuff?
Hootran, that's HUUTRAN, Superman. That's Hootran, Superman. Right now my Twitter name is All You Want for Christmas is Who, so... I'm very good at puns, folks. Very good at puns.
The best. The best at puns.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to... give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on kslpodcasts.com. or wherever you get your podcasts.